I want to welcome all of you here once again this morning to this message that we're talking about here entitled Take Courage. And we really appreciate the fact that God wants us to live that way, especially in times in which we live, like the times in which we live. We need to be people, men and women, of bravery and of courage. Daily Wisdom for Men writes this: all work that involves people requires courage. Jehoshaphat, one of the kings of Israel, his work involved hundreds of thousands of people. It took courage every day for them to fulfill it. So when he blessed the workers in Judah, his blessing included the appeal to take courage. He knew that the recent jobs that he had assigned required assessing motives and also handing out decisions. He also knew courage's bravery and resolve were necessary for completing the task that he had given those men and women to do. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 11, this is from the New Living Testament, Jehoshaphat said this: take courage as you fulfill your duties, and may the Lord be with those who do what is right. I want to say that again. He said, take courage as you fulfill your duties, and may the Lord be with those who do what is right. We've always gone by this saying, do right and fear nothing. Amen? If you do what's right, then you have nothing to fear. And Jehoshaphat is telling them, take courage, and may God be with those who are doing what is right in his eyes. Just before his death, Moses gave Joshua a great pep talk in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Just a couple of verses there, verses 7 and 8. It says this: then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Those were great words from a great leader of the nation of Israel at that time. And that man was Moses. And he is passing the torch, or about to the young man that he's mentored for many years, Joshua. And he said, you're the one that when I pass, you're the one that's going to take over the reins. You're going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. And I want you to be afraid, because God's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to be with you always. And then Deuteronomy 34, we step up to where Moses is has passed at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And we pick up in verse number 7 of chapter number 34, and it says this: Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. I love that. At 120, he was still strong, his eyes were still sharp, he was in good health. The Israelites, verse 8 says, the Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. I like this precedent that's set early on in Scripture, that Moses laid his hands upon the young man Joshua and anointed him to be the new leader of the children of Israel. God always wanted his people to have a strong leader, and so Moses did that. Later in the New Testament, Paul did the same thing with young Timothy. Paul laid his hands upon Timothy, prayed over him, and imparted a blessing upon Timothy as well. And so it's definitely something set in Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, that this is something that should be done. And then we go to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, as we follow this story this morning. Joshua chapter 1, And we're going to begin with verse number 1. And it says this, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, he says plainly, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses.'" Initially, God made that same promise to Abraham. He said, wherever you set your foot, the sole of your foot, it's going to be your land. It'll be land that you've claimed. You've walked it. And so you've claimed it for God, and you've claimed it for the nation of Israel. Years later, David Ben-Gurion, the founder of modern-day Israel, did exactly the same thing as Abraham and Moses. He walked the land, and he claimed it as the new birthplace for the nation of Israel, which came to pass in 1948. So it's something that God set in motion this far back. And then verse 4 says, "Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west," which is the Mediterranean. Verse 5, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." God is making that promise to Joshua. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." The same words that Moses spoke to Joshua, God is repeating those words to Joshua, saying, you know what? What he told you, I'm retelling, and it's going to come to pass. "And as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you." Verse 6, God says to him, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." God is giving us a precedent here as well. He's saying, if you will be obedient to what I'm telling you, he said, then you will have success. Obedience always brings the blessing of God. Disobedience will bring just the opposite. Verse 8, "Do not let this book of the law," the book of the law that Moses had written, he said, "don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." Why? "So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." What a great faith commitment that God is making to Joshua, and what a man of faith that Joshua became because of these promises that God made to him. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we move on to a further king in Israel's history, and you know him well. His name is David. Well, David had this word for his son Solomon. It's found in 1 Chronicles 22, and we're going to look at several verses there, beginning with verse 11. David says to him, "Now, my son, the Lord be with you, and may you have success," there's that word again, "and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God." Once again, David kind of saying to his son Solomon the same thing that God had told to Joshua. He says, "Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and the laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged." And then skip down to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and just one verse there, verse number 20. And it says this, "David also said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is completed. So again, here is a dad telling his son, you know that God told me that I couldn't build this temple, but he told me that you, Solomon, my son, would do it. And so David says, do the work. Fulfill the call of God upon your life. Be strong. Be courageous, because God's going to be with you, and he's going to help you to finish every bit of the work that I've told you to do on that temple for God. Well, let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles for just a moment. Let's do that. 2 Chronicles, and we're going to go to chapter number 15, and we're going to pick up at verse number 1. This is another king of Israel. His name is Asa, and Asa is bringing reform to his country. And so in that chapter, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1, let's begin. And it says this, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. So this is the southern two tribes that are really still following the Lord at this point. And he says, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, verse 3 says, for a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. I love that verse. In their distress, they sought the Lord. I think in our country today, with the pandemic, with the economy, with a lot of stuff going on in the world, the elections coming up in November, there's a lot of distress in the land. There's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, a lot of worry, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. Don't know what to do, don't know which way to turn. People are struggling. And in their distress, the children of Israel turn to the Lord. That's a key for us today. We need to turn to the Lord, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. So let's turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. Let's seek him. And in doing so, the word says that we will find him if we seek him with all of our heart. Verse 5 says this, in those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. We feel that today, don't we, in our country and even globally. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of stuff going on. Verse 6 says, one nation was being crushed by another, one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Now, why does God do that? And why is all this stuff happening in our nation and around the world right now? I firmly believe God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to get the attention of our nation and all the nations of the world by what's going on around us. We sense, we see that the end times are upon us. We really sense the soonness, the shortness of time. And Jesus, I really believe, is about to return to this earth for that second coming that we've been taught for so many years. But God was troubling the world at that time with every kind of distress. But he has an answer. Verse 7 says, but as for you, be strong and don't give up, for your work will be rewarded. That's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. But as for you, so point to yourself, look in the mirror and say this to yourself. But as for you, be strong. Don't give up. Don't quit. For your work will be rewarded. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, it's going to be rewarded. The Bible says our labor in the Lord is never in vain. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 8 here of this chapter we're still in. When Asa, King Asa, heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded the prophet, he what? He took courage. You know what? That lets us know the power that there is in our words. We've talked about that several times over the years in the past, about the power of life and death is in the tongue. With our words, you can edify and encourage, or you can destroy, you can discourage, you can deflate just by our words. But when Asa heard this prophetic word from the prophet, he took courage. In spite of the distress that was going on at the time, in spite of God troubling the land, in spite of all the junk, the distress that we just read about, he said, I'm going to take courage in what Asa is telling me. God has a plan, and we're going to see it fulfilled. And then let's go a little bit further in 2 Chronicles to chapter 32, and we're going to pick up at verse number 6. Another king of Israel, Hezekiah. Let's look at this in verse 6. He, Hezekiah, appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words. Just what we were talking about. Look at verse 7. He says here, be strong and courageous. That's the theme of everyone we've talked about so far this morning. From Moses to God and Joshua to David to the different kings we've talked about, the same word, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. It's a time when Israel was going to be invaded by this king of Assyria. Sennacherib was his name. And so he's trying to encourage the men. He says, no, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because of this guy, this king that's coming with this vast army, because there's a greater power with us than with him. The Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? And we need to live that way, believe that. Verse 80 says, with him, with this king invading us, is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. There's another point in Scripture where it says, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're not going to have to fight this battle. The Lord is going to fight it for you. That's what this verse is basically saying. God is here to help us, and he's the one that will fight our battles. And so the people gain confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Once again, words of encouragement, words that inspire courage and a desire to follow and serve the Lord. And then this morning, I want to close with one more example. We're going to go backwards a little bit to the book of 1 Chronicles. Let's do that. 1 Chronicles, and we're going to go to chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and we're going to pick up at verse number 4. This is really, really good portion of Scripture. It's where David has not yet gone into the city of Jerusalem. He hasn't yet taken it from the Jebusites. And so let's kind of pick it up here. It says this in verse 4. David and all the Israelites marched to Jerusalem. That is, the city was known as Jebus back then. And the Jebusites who lived there said to David, you will not get in here. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which he later called the city of David. Verse 6, David had said, whoever leads the attack on the Jebusites will become my commander-in-chief. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, which was David's nephew, Joab went up first, and so he received the command because he did it. So verse 7 says, David then took up residence in the fortress, and so it was called the City of David. He built up the city around it from the supporting terraces or the millo to the surrounding wall, while Joab restored the rest of the city. And David became more and more powerful. Why? Because the Lord Almighty, the El Shaddai, was with him. Boy, I love that. Pastor Jim Cimbala adds this to this portion of Scripture. He writes, it was not an easy prize. In other words, it was not easy to attack Jerusalem and take it. He says, the Jebusites who lived in Jerusalem flatly told David, no way. This is a tough, fortified city, and you're not going to get inside. But in fact, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 records the insult that they spoke to David. They told him, even the blind and the lame here in our city can ward you off and defend the city from your attack. But David and his warriors pressed on, Pastor Simler writes. They would not be turned back. In fact, David made a very unusual offer. Whoever leads the attack on the Jebusites, as we just read, will become commander-in-chief. So this meant being the first to head uphill against well-armed soldiers perched atop thick walls, just waiting to rain down arrows and rocks. Now, that doesn't sound like something you might want to do, but Joab did it. David's young nephew Joab seized the opportunity to perform this exploit. That took courage. That took maybe a little youth as well. You know, you feel like you're invincible when you're that young. But he did it. He broke into the city first, and he became David's leading general for many years to come and had a lot more victories as well under his belt. But, you know, a footnote here by Pastor Simmel is this. That's not how we select leaders in the church today, though, is it? We go by resumes, we go by seniority, by image, by education, and a half dozen other human criteria. By contrast, David looked for bravery and boldness in the real world of battle. That's what David looked for. So bring it to us today. Pastor Simler writes this, if we are courageous enough to go on the spiritual attack, to be mighty men and women of prayer and faith, there is no limit to what God can accomplish through us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? So as we close this morning, just a couple of questions. This is from my devotional Daily Wisdom for Men as well. The first question is this. What is the crux of your courage? In other words, what is the essential or the most important point or part of your courage? Where does that courage come from? And then finally, who do you go to when you're facing circumstances that just seem impossible? Who do you go to? Where do you turn when you face impossible circumstances? When, like young David, you face a Goliath? When, like this young man, Joab, that we just read about, when he faced that Jebusite city and he went in and took it for the kingdom of God? So who do you turn to? Where do you turn when circumstances in your life look so overwhelming? And finally, how do you take courage? How do you do that? How do you flesh that out? I want us to pray this morning. Father, I ask you today to speak to each one of us in regards to the way that we live our lives, in regards to the way we respond to circumstances that just seem to overwhelm us. Circumstances like we're living in right now, when there's so much uncertainty. Lord, when kids are going back to school, even tomorrow, and Lord, there's worry, there's concern on the part of parents. Lord, there's all kinds of issues going on around us. Lord, in our own country and in countries all around the world. So, Father, how do we take courage? Who do we turn to? Father, this morning I pray that everyone in this room with me live and those watching on YouTube this morning, I pray that we will learn to quickly turn our eyes to you, that we'll quickly offer up our prayers to you. Lord, crying out to you about our worries, our fears, our stressors, all the stuff in life. Lord, the things that may keep some folks awake at night. Lord, things that are just so overwhelming, financial needs, physical needs. Oh, Lord, relationships that need fixing. Lord, issues between husband and wife or parents and children, in-law issues, so many things in life, Lord, that we struggle with. Lord, I pray that we'll take courage this morning, that we'll turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that we'll look to you, that we'll believe you for great and mighty things in our lives. Lord, whatever the circumstances that anyone finds themselves in this morning, I pray that we'll find our comfort in you. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Father, help us this morning to trade in our heavy yokes and our heavy burdens for your light one. Oh, God, help us to find a place of peace in you that the world cannot give us, and a peace that the world cannot take away. And so, Father, may that peace of God that passes all understanding keep every heart, every mind, every life safe in Christ Jesus. You said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Don't let your heart, don't let your mind be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so, Father, use us, God, today for your glory. Change in us whatever needs to change. Draw us closer to you than we've ever been before, and grace us with your presence, with your peace, with your power, and most importantly, your perfect love, because your perfect love casts out all of our fear. And so, God, we receive these things this morning because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. So glad that you tuned in again this morning. Don't forget to be with us next week as well. Trust that you'll be blessed this coming week, wherever you are and whatever may be going on in your life. Look to Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher and the perfecter of your faith. God bless you.